it going, everybody? This is Derek Wiseguy Cloud talking to you from BBSRadio.com, and my show is called Between Two Worlds. And I am a psychic medium, paranormal investigator. I'm coming out of the area of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. I'd like to welcome everybody here that are listening to the show. Those are actually sitting into the chat room as well. We actually have the BBS Radio chat room. I'd also like to welcome people there, as well as the Pal Talk chat room. I'd like to welcome them also. Anyone else out there who actually have any questions you want to ask or you want to phone in, please call me. These are the toll-free numbers, by the way. I got some really outstanding stories to talk about as well, so I'll give you the toll-free numbers first. The numbers are, from the U.S., is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Those are calling in from Canada, get your crayons out. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And those are international, across the world, are 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, we've had a very outstanding night. I was up until all hours this morning. We were actually talking about the Fire the Grid with Shelley Yates, who actually has shared that her story a few years back regarding what she dealt with near-death experience. And she put the word out, letting the whole world know, 11 million people plus. Would you figure that? 11 million people plus heard her share her story, and they all participated in this journey regarding to help to heal the Mother Earth. And it took place last night, early hours of this morning. And it's been an absolute phenomenal time, because when a lot of us actually did meditations, some of us also probably slept through it, probably, and I'm sure your eyes are still watery or sandy because you had all short sleeps. And I also like to also thank BBS Radio, Don Newsom, and the crew, even the people that Don worked with. Don opened his radio show all hours this morning just to make sure that people were able to participate on radio and share their stories. It was fabulous. And to share, also letting everybody know that we did participate in the healing Mother Earth, whether it's through meditation, through our prayer. And there's different varieties of people I've spoken to just recently that I've had calls from. We've had an elder who shared a sweat lodge. He called upon the people who wanted to come and sit in the sweat. They had an all-night sweat lodge to help heal the Mother Earth. Because we, as Aboriginal people, myself, we always turn to our sweat lodge. It's like a church to us, but it's also the way we sit in the sweat lodge is like we're sitting in Mother Earth's womb. So as we are asking for the healing of Mother Earth, we're asking for that healing in return, so we balance back nothing but unconditional love and light. Now, today I'm actually going to be talking about mediumship, and I'm calling in everybody, letting everybody else know out there, today is mediumship night. So anyone who actually has any questions you want to ask, you want to have a loved one to talk to, or any questions you want to ask, please feel free to phone in to the station. That's 877-876-5227. Those of you who know me, I will give you what I can do best for answers. And also, for Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. International phones. Now, we've actually had some people calling. One lady called in from Australia. Another fellow called in from England. So it doesn't mean we're not getting any calls. They're coming in. I also want to acknowledge our affiliates, because they're the people that are picking us up across into Australia. I want to acknowledge Ghost Radio for picking us up. They're the streaming, the paranormal to this world and the next, and these guys are fabulous. Leah Ramsey, who I've been interviewed by, she's a fabulous person, so is her husband, fabulous people, and they tried to share as much information in Australia regarding anyone and any kind of work that we are actually involved in. Also, APSR Radio, Dr. Jimmy and Heather and the crew, they've gone to the next level, which is actually they're going into paranormal television, on video, on the internet. So as they're going on site, as they're doing their work, they themselves are going to be doing paranormal investigations on site while we are on the chat line, talking to them back and forth and asking questions while they're doing this program. This is actually done for the very first time. It's never been done before. It's phenomenal. Also, to acknowledge the GoEd Began, they're also from the Netherlands. These people are also picking this up. And they themselves, too, are carrying us over in the Netherlands in that area, and they support us 100%. So we got so much to share. We have a phone caller coming in. And who am I listening to? Who am I hearing from? Caller, are you there?
I was on Pal Talk, and I saw your room Between Two Worlds. And I'm just a newbie, you might say, medium. I just started, and I feel called to use my gifts. And I just recently spoke to somebody who I'd known in a past life, and I revealed to him the information. And I'm not sure if I scared him off by telling him all the truth that I told him about. I wanted to know if I went too far.
No, I don't think you did, because I'll tell you this right now. When a person works in this field, you're given not specifically the obligation, but you're given that gift. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And when spirit comes to you and tells you that you need to relate this message to that person, don't fear. Please do not fear what you've given them, and whatever you're supposed to tell them is exactly the way it's supposed to be, because we ourselves as mediums, we're not supposed to try to figure out what it is, mm-hmm. how it works. All we know is that we're the messengers.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody out there says, well, you know, don't shoot the messenger, we're just messengers. We're not trying to tell you what we want you to know.
Right.
We have to tell you because they ask us to.
Well, speaking of messages, I just received one for you. I hope that's all right. May I say something?
That's a first. Go ahead.
Oh, I just feel a great, strong presence of Native Americans, not only one, but many tribes that are around you. And they're very proud of the work you're doing, and you're doing a great job. And I see, I think, a Native American woman who's like a grandmother. I'm not sure if she is, but an elderly woman who is very
wow.
wise and very proud and very, very grateful for what you're doing. I hear a lot of them chanting in my head.
Well, that's good. I'm
very,
glad
very
they're chanting. They're singing, celebrating. I feel very thank you very much about that. From that, that's fabulous. Let me tell you something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to hear?
Oh, sure. Have all ears.
Let me tell you something about myself, because basically, and here's a funny thing: a medium tells another medium what they're going to get. And sometimes I do classes at my home, and I teach on Sundays, and I have people come in, they're inquisitive about learning how to use their skills, so this happens quite often. And once in a while I get my students to even give me a message, because I want them to learn something, and whatever they feel, like I don't tell them everything about myself, because if you do, then you're not really thinking that you're giving them anything, so I try to be as private as possible, and let them bring out what they feel the message will be. But what I have for you specifically, there is an older woman that's passed over. I'm going to say grandmother to you. And she's passed away, and she's on your mom's side. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm seeing her, she's actually the one that's gave you the gift that's passed from generation to generation. Yours is generational.
Oh, see, that's great, because, not to interrupt, see, I'm adopted, and I really don't know anything about my mother, other than what I've been told, and wow, you make me cry. That's great, because
it's generational, and it's a gift for you. Now, let me tell you something more about yourself, okay?
Okay, sure.
Even though you may have felt that you had a hard time in your part of your life, still trying to find family,
mm-hmm.
or feel that you feel that you, sometimes you may feel guilty that you may think it's your fault for who you are,
mm-hmm.
you're not.
Okay.
Okay? Don't feel guilty of who you are and why you did not have the original birth family with you.
That's all right.
Because when I would say, not always that you were supposed to learn the lesson of having a birth family with you all the time. Like everybody, sometimes they want to find out why they had why they didn't have a birth family with them. Some others did.
Mm-hmm.
Best teachers are the ones that have had the hardships of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because they learn by experience, and they also teach others of forgiveness. They teach others of inner strength. They teach others of looking to the sun and to fulfill and to take in that breath of light and to feel comfortable with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ever feel like it, you need to, if you get caught up in that feeling that you feel like really upset, just take a deep breath and just let it breathe out. Just, you know, like if you puff your chest out, just take that breath and come down and relax. Mm-hmm. You'll feel a whole lot better.
Okay.
Okay? But try not to let the anxiety get to you regarding your skill. Even though you say you're just getting started, how old are you?
I'm 32. I also was went through an abusive relationship, so that I'm slowly recovering from that spiritually, and that's why I'm able to start to do my gifts and work and using my gifts for others now, because I'm slowly, like, you know, spiritually coming out of that.
Yes. So. That's basically what happens for a lot of people. It's the way it works. Like I said, you become the best counselor when you learn by experience.
Yes, yes.
Not always having to go to university and college and say, well, I took this course, took that course, and that makes me a psychic. There are some people out there that actually will train psychics or train people in schools, like real original schools and in universities, learn how to use their intuition or other programs. And I always tell people the best healer, the best reader, are the people that are actually doing on the job there. Like, they're learning by experience with others that are with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be considered an equal, not somebody above or below.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to you, you're my equal. You're never above me or below me.
Right.
So you're not just getting started. You already had started. You started since you're a little girl. Because you had a near-death experience.
Wow. Can I just ask one more question about this one person?
Uh-huh.
I know that I've met him in another life. I've actually seen the other lives in the Astric records. It's just that I'm not sure. I know I've been told that I'm supposed to be with him, but I don't know. I'm just a little worried that, you know, if I've sent and gave the message. I guess he's digesting all the information, and it's sort of like a shock to him, I guess. I just want to know if there's anything that you see me doing.
Is this fellow much older than you?
Excuse me?
Is this fellow much older than you?
Yes, he is.
Like about 10 or 10, 12 years?
Something like that, yeah, around...
Okay, figured that, because I'm being told this. How old is he around his age?
Well, okay, I'm 32, he's 72, yeah.
72?
Yeah, well, I know this sounds crazy.
More than 10 or 12 years?
but our spirits have known each other so many more lifetimes that I can tell you right here in this phone conversation.
He's not really meant to be the partner, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a past life specifically, or not past life, he's not a life partner in this life.
Mm-hmm.
He's only a past life connection that mm-hmm. you've had before with him.
Right.
Not as a life partner, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
I think it might be from my spirit guide that I was a life partner with him.
Yeah, you were a life partner with him in a past life, but not today. You're more of a, it's more like meeting him again, but it's not the same.
Right.
Okay? There is someone that you will meet that will be around 40-ish, around there, that you will meet, that you will have a partner with.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that either you're dealing with a weight problem, but having to work on your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I have to work on my self-esteem. That's definite. I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, work on your self-esteem, and don't let people make you think that you're lesser, and try not to let yourself feel that way either.
Okay.
Okay?
That means everything to me. Thank you so
much. You're welcome.
So much.
You take care.
God bless you.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, these things do happen with a lot of people who have started learning to use their skills. When I let new students come in, and most of them actually start around 25 to 30 years of age. Mine started happening with me when I became gifted with my skills was around 32. I felt so confused. I didn't know who to go see or find out why I'm so skilled. So what this does for me, it helps me understand better about myself, that I'm not having to feel that I'm like different from everybody else. There is a difference about being different from other people, but I mean that's normal. That's normal because basically, you know, sometimes you don't may not have a friend that will understand you, or some other friends that may understand you, because sometimes you may have, you know, you have friends you've known before you became skilled, and then sometimes you have some friends that maybe you kind of creeped up by the way you are because you suddenly you have these skills and looking at you going real strange sideways, going like, okay, we got a strange one here. Or they may even think that you may have started maybe a fad, you know, a phase, and oh, it's just for a little while. Maybe he or she will get over it. Nah. You won't get over it. You're going to get better at it. At times, you begin to meet new people and where they understand you because you're going to feel like when you start using your skills more, you begin to feel like you're not part of the old group anymore. You got a new group. You feel sometimes that people are a little bit boring at times. Like it's just that they talk about the same old stuff all the time and you think to yourself, wow. You know, like, how come these people are not the same as I used to remember them? Because we always talked about the same thing, repeat themselves over again, but yet, and you begin to get into the healing field, it's different. It's totally different. You have that comfort there. Now, we have another caller calling in.
Yes.
Who am I speaking to? Where are you from?
This is Justina. I'm in the United States. Omitake Uyesen.
Your first name again was?
I said my name is Justina.
Justina.
I'm in the United States.
Yes. What can I do for you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you quite well.
Okay. I'm not sure I can hear you very well. I was wondering if you could connect with my guides and tell me who I am, what my purpose is.
In your life?
Yes.
Okay.
In this life.
I want to say you've got, I'm not going to go to the word guides, but I want to go to the animal guides with you. I want to say there's a bear and a wolf. The bear guide or bear spirit's coming out into your path right now, and it's talking about you having to be what you call introverted in for quite a while, like you're shutting down. And you begin to start to come out of yourself more now.
Okay?
The wolf spirit is coming out, learning to be, basically talks about family and teacher. And you're learning about being connected to that teaching skill or wanting to learn to go back to school, like having to make a decision if you're going to do it or not. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I used to be a teacher by trade.
Okay.
And I feel calling for it.
Always been with you since you've had that skill. You've always had that. Now, being the part of the bear spirit tells me that you are working on opening up your self now. Like you're, and a lot of it, when the bears start coming out, they start looking for berries in the springtime, berries and nuts and fruit. They don't touch meat.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get near the meat until later on this midsummer. So in the summer season right now, you need to start working on your conditions of health. That is, like, if you're not to eat beef, change your way of thinking in your path as far as your health is concerned. Does that make
any
sense?
Yeah, I am dealing with some stuff that I've been manifesting, yes.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Now, why I'm saying this, because you have a tendency of holding yourself into a corner and not coming out.
Well, yeah, when you stick like a sore thumb, yeah.
Okay.
You've
got to start to look at yourself more. And I want to say, try not to make yourself thinking that you have to feel crippled. You need to start letting yourself be humble and learn about, there is a word, humility, but that's an inner strength humility, not an outer strength humility. Try to overcome your differences about the world, about society, that you're a better person than you think. Like, I get this feeling like you and your father had a problem in the past, and you always keep on trying to convince your dad.
I'm not in touch with my dad.
Okay, but you even though you may not be in touch with him, but you had a problem with your dad between you and yourself.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and you're trying to convince yourself that you could be better than your father.
Actually, my mother. Well, both of them, yeah.
Being your dad, okay? Because even though you may not have had dad in your life, you still are trying to you're still trying to figure yourself out, wonder what dad, where dad is, wonder what dad's doing, but yet, am I like my father? You understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. What you need to start doing now is start being yourself and start following your own path instead of somebody else's path. You've got a heck of a healing skill, and you should seriously consider about doing some self-healing. Because the body can learn to heal itself, because you have a tendency of holding yourself back by thinking that you cannot get ahead. You know, you've got that teacher skill. There's other ways of becoming a teacher, continue on doing other teaching skills besides just being that other old way.
Correct. And I continue to be a teacher. I never stopped. It's just not in the way society sees a teacher any way.
But you need to follow your heart and don't give up on what you're doing. Because there's so much there, like either you have connection to, like Manitoba to you.
Like what?
Do you? Where are you living?
I'm in the United States.
Okay. Is there someone in your family has a Manitoba connection to you?
Manitoba? No.
Like Canada?
No.
Okay. This is going to be surprising. Then it means that there's somebody by the name of Brandon.
Brandon? No.
Do you know somebody by the name of Brandon?
No.
Okay.
Not even here, not to talk about Canada.
Okay. I'm not saying specific to Canada. I'm getting the name symbol. This is a name symbol. You're going to actually hear from the name Brandon.
Okay.
To you, okay? The name Brandon. It sounds like a man's name.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that name, that is basically the symbol saying the awakening is about to begin.
Okay.
Okay? I've got to go with that because that's what I was asking if you live in Manitoba, even though you said you're in the States, but for some reason, sometimes, you know, Manitoba is connected to it can also be a border side to the, like, whereabouts are you in the United States?
Midwest, Nebraska.
Nebraska. So you're upper area of eastern U.S.
Mid north.
Okay.
Mid north.
Well, let's try to figure out the calendar or the map here. I really feel as strong that the name Brandon will be a significant symbol to you.
Okay.
Just keep an eye open on that one.
Okay. So
and I wouldn't like him.
Will he be like a messenger or?
I've got a very strong connection to this one. This Brandon is like, and also I have Michael. Who's Michael to you?
My soon-to-be ex-husband.
Okay.
Or Kirsten Michael. To whom I pray a lot.
No. This is a Michael as in living Michael.
In fresh.
This is the ex-husband.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Brandon, your guide. Don't let things get to you, and don't hold yourself in the corner. Think you're worth less than you think you are.
Okay.
Okay. Be strong, and you will succeed.
Okay. And so Brandon is a guide? Is that what you said? Okay.
Okay. What you do, you ever done automatic writing?
I attempted to.
Okay. Let me tell you what you do. Okay? You get a candle, a white candle,
mm-hmm.
and you light the candle, and you bring a pad and paper with you, and you do a prayer, a protection, a prayer of, basically it's a prayer of inner strength.
Okay.
And you're asking for the God light to give you guidance. And you ask Brandon, your guide, to help you with words, thoughts that come through to understand the path that you're on. When the candle is lit, the flame represents the angel, and you will always be guided and do not feel alone.
Okay.
They will guide your hand, and by thoughts that come through you, just share what your thoughts are on paper. That's the thoughts of Brandon giving you the message. That's the guide that you need to work with.
Okay?
You're going to feel a whole lot better, and you're going to have that huge smile on your face. Mm-hmm. Like I want to say, I'm finally going to get my teeth fixed.
You are something else. Thank you.
Does that make any sense?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
So you don't feel, one quick question, you don't feel my grandmother around me?
It's not, you know what, I got to kick good people and say, don't you feel my grandmother or somebody else around you? Yes, I do, but you asked for a guide.
Oh, okay.
If you're asking for grandma to be around you, let's see if she's around you. You can actually write with her as well. All you do is you write her name down three times.
Okay.
Because you're creating that energy of her. Same with Brandon. You create the energy by having to write their name down three times.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You'll start noticing a big change. Even the flame will start to grow longer and wave wide. And that shows you that their presence is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your grandmother comes from, I want to say, I'm not sure it makes sense, but are you living in a manufactured house or a mobile home?
An apartment building.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a,
I'm seeing like you're traveling possibly in this type of building. Like either
really?
It's a trailer, mobile home, something like that,
Whoa.
But it's moving. Not a mobile home, but like an RV. You're traveling.
Okay.
When you travel, it's like I'm seeing from the door, your grandmother's giving you help. Every time you go somewhere, she's with you to give you guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be surprised what will happen. It's almost like your birthday's coming up.
Yes.
I'm supposed to say happy birthday to you.
I'm sorry?
Happy birthday from Grandma.
Thank you. Thank you.
And have fun with it.
I'll try.
Have a cup of tea for her.
I celebrated it. I'm sorry?
Have a cup of tea for her.
Oh, I'll light a few candles and I'll, yes, I will.
Understand?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, Derek.
Take care.
All the best.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay. A lot of times when we have a guide that comes through, at times I get a symbol, and the symbol to me feels like something very, very strange, and it really throws people into a way of thinking because we always expect sometimes guides are like, you know, big names, like an angel or something huge, like elaborate. You know what? They're just simple people that are passed over. They're just put there for a reason because they chose to be with you. You could have been their friend in the past life before, and so they chose to be with you while you're living on this earth. And this person's name that comes through for this lady was like, it's so loving and so soothing. I just felt like, you know, oh, you got to get there and you got to hold that hand on her heart and you want to give her that healing. It's just important. Anybody out there who actually does a lot of healing work themselves, those of you guys who listen on radio, having to listen to people coming on the shows or anybody you know that actually dealing with an issue in life, it doesn't hurt to do a prayer for them once in a while because they do need it in return just as much as we need for ourselves or even our family. And I do that quite often. I do pray for others that are also suffering, especially, you know, we do have loved ones or even people we don't know, like even elders that are in the hospital that are going through their suffering or trying to heal. Even sometimes they begin to lose their time and life on this earth. And then we have the children that are in the hospital. Those are going through also going through cancers and illnesses and stuff. We also need to pray for them. And even the single moms, you know, they only have kids, and they sometimes need to be protected if they're living on their own. You know, we pray for all these types of things for these people because it's important, or even people that are in prison. We also pray for them because we're not going to pray for their soul. It's not the important part. The important part is praying for them to give them that strong support that they can actually survive. And the soul can actually heal itself as we pray for themselves to be strong inside and knowing that they can actually succeed to get out of that pain and to make the change and say, you know, this is what I can do for myself and I can do this for others to help them become better people. And so that does happen at times. And we also pray for even the earth and, you know, earth to heal. We pray for the four-leggeds. All the animals, and we know we do have animals that suffer, And we do come across people that sometimes don't like seeing people wearing furs on their bodies or on their clothing or on their hat or in their hair, on their hands. But in my ways, my traditional ways, I've always been raised that if you trap something, you eat it, and you don't throw nothing away, you try to make as much as you possibly can with it. I mean, let's put it this way. If you ever hunted a moose, all there really is that you cannot use of the moose is about 20 pounds of stomach. The rest of it can be used. People use it, the body from everything from fur to the hide to the hooves. They even eat the nostrils. That's actually considered a delicacy. We have someone coming online. Is there someone there?
Yes, it is.
Who am I talking to?
This is Zita.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Derek?
Good.
I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Okay.
I'm not sure why I'm calling. I just have an urge to call. And I'm kind of at a crossroads in a lot of different things in my life, and I don't know if you can tell me which direction I need to go in.
Okay. What do you mean type of direction? You're looking for, like, physical direction to or spiritual direction?
Actually, both. They're both kind of right in the middle of everything.
Okay. Well, have you started doing your work in the healing field?
Yes.
Okay. Have you made focus on it now?
Yes.
Have you started writing your book yet?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No, I have not.
Why?
I've kind of put all that on hold for a little bit, but I've been told to.
Who said?
A couple friends of mine have told me to start writing.
A couple of your friends have told you not to write?
To start writing.
Okay, and you're putting your book on hold?
Yes, until I get to a couple personal things first.
Okay.
And then
the
I'll
book
have a
itself
better direction.
Fire, listen to me now, please. A book itself does not require to be put on hold because of two people.
Okay.
All your issues are, you need to express your feelings on paper, just like automatic writing, the same way. You express your feelings on paper, it does not require a title itself. All you need to do is express what you need to say. That's how you go through the healing process while you're actually writing your book.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. When I wrote my book and I did my work through spirit, and there are times I was really off, I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt so disoriented at times, but yet I was frustrated by not wanting to write my book. And I'll put it off, and then spirit will get me up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, get out of bed and start writing. And I go, like, I'm tired, I want to sleep. No, get up and write. And they would keep me not sleep. They would not let me sleep. I try to close my eyes, and then I would get this push, and they would actually tug on my hair, or they would nudge me, and literally I would feel as if somebody's pinching my bum.
Okay. I used to write all the time, as Joanna's saying, you tell me.
Okay.
I used to write all the time, and something happened to me last fall, and it just pretty much shut me down.
Okay. Stop letting people make you feel worthless than you are.
Okay.
Not worthless. You are worthy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I am learning that.
Don't let them make you feel guilty.
Okay.
You're not guilty of anything.
Boy, that hit a button. Okay.
The only guilt that you take is what you give yourself because you feel you've dealt with this since you were a little girl growing up, and your mother had put that crap in your head since you were a kid.
Absolutely.
Okay? You're not that little girl anymore. You may carry that little girl with you, but that little girl needs to heal.
Okay.
That little girl needs to hug herself once in a while. So you need once in a while just to even hold yourself and hug yourself and hug that little girl. You need to do what you call a visual, you visualize yourself as that little girl again, and you hold her and you hug her and tell her everything's okay and give her that eternal love because you have never had your hug from anybody for a long time.
Long time.
Very okay.
Long. Yep.
And you need to give it back because it's like there are so many people that want to help you. I'm seeing a lot of females around you, a lot of women, and yet as soon as you get close to them, you're afraid that they're trying to get into your head and control you. Nobody is controlling you. You're just thinking it's your mom that's doing it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Don't let that control you or let that bother you because you need to forgive mom and let it go.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes
because
sense.
That book has got to get it out.
Yeah.
You got to get it out there. You got so much to write. And I wouldn't put past you. I've got 4 books to do.
Yeah, a good friend of yours is the one who's encouraged me to write. In fact, she's holding a lot of it for me.
Okay.
So, yes, it's what I write is I write verse and I write poems. And that's what I'm writing.
But you also need to write about yourself.
Okay.
Tell your own story, what you dealt with when you were a kid growing up.
Okay.
Okay? Because what it does for others, you know, you may think, well, okay, every kid's the same. They all got the same, probably had all the same problems, same issue, da-da-da-da. Well, what happens is that when you write your book, even about yourself personally, and when I wrote my book about myself personally, it became a healing process for me. It helped me let go of my inner stuff that I had dealt with since I was a kid, even with my father and my mother. I mean, my dad and I had something different about each other. My mother and I sometimes had something different about each other, but with my mother and I were more closer than my father and I were.
Okay.
But I still had to go through the healing process and having to forgive myself, carrying that anger and frustration and thinking, well, if I did this, my father would love me more. Or if I did that, my mother would love me more. It had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Or I would think to myself, okay, why am I letting my mother tell me what to do? Because what a parent does, they try to give you guidance only what they knew best.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So yeah. All of a sudden, you're an adult, and you're going, okay, now I got kids, I got to tell them what to do now.
Right.
Guess what? You're going to have just as much a problem with your kids because the fact is, you're acting like your mom.
See, my,
and you don't realize that.
Yeah, see, I didn't know my father very well. He was murdered when I was young.
Yes.
So my mother raised us to be stronger than that. That you don't show emotion, you don't show...
Which is a big mistake.
Right, you don't show worry and you don't show hurt.
Yeah.
So that's how she raised us.
You have to express your feelings, let the whole world know that you care, and that take that somber feeling out of it. Remember I said before, that little girl that's actually afraid, that little girl that wants to express love.
Okay.
That little girl had never had a chance to really awaken herself and really wanted to give back. Now she wants to give back, but it's on her own terms, when she feels safe, and that safeness is always there.
Okay.
Okay, because mom told you to be that way, because she feels that your mother's biggest fear was, since your father was murdered, that her kids would be in danger too if there are two.
And we were.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing is that your mother went through that fear. Now you're an adult. Your mom still doesn't understand society itself. She thinks it's going to happen to everybody else around her, and it's not. Like your mother says, why me? Why me? Why my family? Why my children? Why are they the ones that are they're being tortured? Why not somebody else's children? Not somebody else's family? Why mine? And your mom holds that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To this day, and she passed 7 years ago. And
yeah.
She still holds on to that.
So now, what your mom's done since she's passed, she's with your dad, and everything's back to normal.
Okay.
As if nothing ever happened. But yet, your mother in the spirit world says to you, I'm so sorry for making you feel this way.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So now she's trying to come through, and she's telling me to tell you this, because it's got to be from her, to tell you to write your book, because that book is important to share the story about a little girl that had no father around her, that type of father that she was hoping that would raise her.
Okay. Which, okay? Ironically, was the same way she grew up. Her father left before she was born.
Exactly. It's
the exact same story.
Exactly. So basically now you got yourself, and your mom went through this, you went through this, now are your children going to go through that?
Okay.
You're going to change that.
Okay.
Not to put the fear in them, thinking them that they're not going to have a good father around them, or a fear of, you know, be careful, don't climb that tree, you're going to fall. Be careful, don't jump off that cliff, you're going to break your leg or lose your life.
Yep.
Those kids have got to talk and walk.
Okay.
Let them do their own thing.
Okay.
If they're, you know very well that they can take care of themselves because they were born in this world before. They lived on this earth long before we did. They've come back as from a grandfather to a child again, from a grandmother to a child again. So they're learning their life again. They're learning something new. They're always learning something new every life, and so are you. That's why you had to learn in this life what it's like not to have a father to be around you, that was your birth father,
mm-hmm.
and to have a mother. Sure, she may have some paranoia, but she wasn't that nuts.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay? But your mother only raised you how she knew how.
Okay. which I accept.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I just never thought I would write a book.
Exactly. So basically, the book itself is a healing process for you.
Okay.
Just put it, you don't have to worry about the title. Leave the title last, because the title will come to you after you've done the book.
Okay.
Even if you write 3, 4, 5 pages a day, or every 2, 3 days, or whatever, but sit down. Find the most common, comfortable time. Make a date. Make a specific time that you like to sit and write. So if all the kids are in the bed, or if you've got time in your hands, say 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, then make that 9 o'clock at night and sit down for that 1 hour and write your stories about what you want to say.
Okay.
Are you smoking?
I'm trying to quit.
You better quit, because I've been warned to you to quit.
Yes, I am working on it.
I'm seeing you at the kitchen table smoking. You got to quit.
Yes. Yes. No, I am having surgery next week, and then once I'm done with that, then I can concentrate on everything else.
Yeah, you got to quit smoking.
So, yes. We were going to quit in July, and then they took me off everything. So, yes, that is a plan.
This is going to help you a whole lot more. You're going to feel a lot better.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Oh. Joanne's going to tell me told you so in just a minute. She's the one encouraging me to write. So
you see,
I appreciate
you've been
it.
Told.
I appreciate it. That answers a lot of questions.
No problem.
Okay, thank you very much, Derek.
You're welcome.
Okay, have a good night.
You too.
I
Bye-bye.
Will. Bye-bye.
You know, a lot of things happen in people's lives like this, and sometimes we don't have a parent around us, or sometimes we don't have two parents around us, and we end up wondering why we feel like we need sometimes to be angry with the world. And it happens. We can't figure ourselves out. And then we try to figure out, you know, how come I'm in a crossroads? How come I'm stopping now? I'm dealing with this issue, and I've got to stop writing because of that issue. All you're really doing is you're putting off things because you know very well the truth is coming out, and you need to share that story. You got to put everything out there. And it's just the way it has to be. You got to put it on. It's like, you know, you get a plate of food put in front of you, and your parent tells you, well, I don't like broccoli, but here it is for you. Now, the child makes a choice whether they like broccoli or not, but yet all of a sudden they're getting an agreement from the parent. The parent says, well, I don't like broccoli. And the kid goes, well, I don't like broccoli either. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, here's the problem. You've been ingrained. You've already been brainwashed in the way, because it's put there. The parent creates that thinking, and you begin to be like them. You take on their habits. That's normal. That is what life is all about. You take on the habit. And the thing is that when you learn those habits, you can also break some of those habits, because sometimes, let's put it this way, a mother does not chew her nails, but yet her daughter will. Why does a daughter chew her nails? Because she's so nervous, thinking that she can't succeed. Why? Because maybe mom had put pressure on her, making her think that she's not strong enough. Oh, because you're so petite, you're not strong enough. So here it is. These are the things. We always keep on thinking we don't have strength. We think we cannot do it. Because, oh, well, you know, I'll just give up. I'll just quit. Why quit? You're just giving up on yourself. Or I'll just commit suicide. Nobody cares about me. Right. Guess what happens when you do commit suicide? How do you know people don't care about you? There's people out there who do care about you. You just never get a chance to find that true love or someone around you, because you stop them from looking at you. You shut down. You will shut yourself right off, and you put yourself in a small little corner, and you say to yourself, I don't want nobody looking at me. Or you start closing off your clothing. You end up taking, like I've seen a lot of young women today, will take the length of their shirt sleeves, and they cover their palms of their hands with their shirt sleeves. The end of the shirt sleeves. Why are they covering their hands with the end of their shirt sleeves? Because they are that scared. They are that shy. They are that afraid for people looking at their hands. Why? Did the parent tell them, go wash your hands? Your hands are always dirty? Or or does a child make themselves feel they're not strong enough because in school the girls make them look make them feel ugly, so they grab the they take the inside of their shirt and they hold it inside their palm of their hands. I've watched this. Those little girls, these young women, begin to lose themselves and they begin to lose their self-esteem. It is. It's self-esteem. You got to build that back up again. So it takes a counselor like myself or a school counselor or someone that they don't know to help them pick them up and get back on their feet again. But it takes them years to get out of it sometimes. Or even just quicker on the next day. They are going by what the system tells them to do. How to live. How to look like a supermodel. How to lose weight. How to gain weight. You know, it gets the point that you got to make a decision for yourself once in a while. You don't need everybody else to tell you what to do all the time. But it's good to get people to get other people's advice. But you listen to yourself and you know you'll filter what feels right for you if that advice is correct. And you know what to do with it. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because if you let go your fears, you'll start noticing that you're a lot stronger than you think and you can overcome those fears. And anybody who tries to commit suicide in their lives, they don't get to go back to be with somebody they love in the spirit world because you basically are stuck there for quite a while. You don't get to see any, you don't get to really talk to anybody. You're there in this little room by yourself, all by yourself. It's called a gray room. It's between the spirit world and hell. But there's no hell. It's just a place where you are. It's a place where you put yourself. God does not put you in hell. You just make your own hell. And that's how it works. You make your own hell. And the thing is that trust your heart. Trust where your heart is. And you'll know what you want in life. You always have a goal. Everybody has a goal. You know, a lot of young kids today, they're coming to me and they say, "Uncle, what can I do? You know, I wanted to start this career. Can I be a model? You know. Or I don't want to be a laborer. I want to start a business on my own. I want to finish school." Because a lot of them are taken out of school. A lot of them quit school because it's the people that they knew in school made them quit because they kept saying you're ugly. So they wait for those guys that used to say that you're ugly to quit to leave school. Then they go back to school maybe 5-10 years later. They don't know these other people. They go back into the school and they will get to reeducate themselves. But then they ask themselves, what took me so long to make a decision to go back to school? Not because I wanted to quit. Not because of saying, well, I just didn't feel like I needed education. It's because sometimes people put you down. And it happens. You're used to that growing up. I had it happen to me. You know, it's nothing new. It's normal. Kids can be vicious at times in school. I mean, I went to my 30-year school reunion last year, July last year, 30 years. Man, I feel old. 30-year school reunion. My God. And one girl asked me that I knew in school, and she said, "Derek, did you really like us at all in school? How come we never really got along when we were young?" I said, "Because you were mean to me. You were mean to me. I was trying to be your friend, and you just didn't like me." She goes, "I did like you." I said, "No, well, you didn't show it. You were mean to me. I felt like I was the outsider looking in, and I never had friends in that school. None, because they were so afraid of me for what I did do. And they were scared what they'd understand." But, you know, out of most of the kids, this woman apologized. Her name was Shauna. And she apologized to me. She said, "Derek, I'm so sorry for making you feel like that, that you carried this pain for 30 years. I'm so sorry." She says, "But kids are so mean that way in school." And I said, "It's okay. It doesn't bother me anymore. But I just wanted to share with her that I could have kept my mouth shut, you know, could have said nothing. But you know what? I wasn't going to go to that school reunion. I wasn't going to even bother going down there to the school. I wasn't going to go. I would say, well, don't need to. You know, I don't need them. They don't need me. But then if I didn't go, it would have eaten me apart all my years. And I think to myself, what if it was different? Maybe they'll like me. Maybe I'll need to be there because I need to see how fat they look, how bald they begin to look. After 30 years, so I went back to that school, and all the good-looking guys that always saw themselves being studs, it was so funny. Those guys, they're the ones with the, you know, the big, you know, the curly, good-looking guy, curly-haired, good-looking guys. These are the football players. These are the hockey players. These are the sports guys that always thought they were so cool. Most of those guys were bald. Most of those guys were overweight. Most of those guys were not even who I was always making a big deal about it. But they made a big deal about me. Because when I arrived there, they didn't like me. Still, after 30 years, when they heard it was me being there, they were like, oh, it's him. What's he doing here? Like, why? The 30-year school reunion. But you know what? It was a good thing for me. It was a healing process for me. I didn't care what they looked like. I just wanted to go and see what it was like to be at a 30-year school reunion or be at a school reunion because I never had that chance. I never even had a chance to have a friend in school because I was on the farm. I was a dairy farmer. But you know what? I'm glad I did, because it helped me go through the healing process, and it worked. Because it gives me a chance to share with you my story, what I went through, to let you all know that it's not finished, that you got a lot of things to do. Everybody has a journey to take, and that is what it's all about. I mean, I got a book. I've written it. It's called Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud. If any of you don't have this book, you can go to my website. It's whiteskycloud.com. You can order the book. It's $20 plus shipping and handling. It is a teaching tool. It's actually channels writings from spirit. And it tells you your message, what you need to know. And I've helped a lot of people go through drug and alcohol recovery regarding this book. When they read it, it helped them make a change in their life. I don't know what it is, what caused them to make the decisions, but the book itself helps them go through the healing process. So it's important that each of us has a gift in this world to share with each other. And even what we did last night at 4:11 a.m. my time, which is 5:11 in some other places, and it was 11:11 in other places in Greenwich Village in the U.S. But we all participated in a healing process because we wanted to care about the earth. Here, we want to give back to the earth, but yet you don't hear people praying to heal other people most of the time. We'll all participate to heal the Mother Earth. We'll 11 million people plus. But what about all the other people that are suffering? What about all the other people that don't have that family that they can have? What about all the people that need that help? We need to spend more time out there to pray for others as well, to give them that inner strength. And it's important. It's important to follow your heart and not to be afraid of what is going to happen. Anyways, to enjoy the night. And, you know, folks, it's been great to have you here on this radio program, Between Two Worlds. I call the show Between Two Worlds because it's all about making contact between both worlds, and it also means having to make peace with yourself. So, in closing, I'd like to thank everybody for being in the chat room with the BBS radio chat room and also on the Between Two Worlds chat room. It's been fabulous to have you guys on to listen to the show, And those of you who missed being coming on there, we'll look forward to seeing you next week. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And in the meantime and in between time, that is it. Another edition of your psychic medium, spiritual, paranormal investigator, Derek Weissguy, Cloud Guy. This has been a fabulous to have you on. Thanks for calling in. And we'll chat with you next week. I might have a guest coming on next week, so we shall see what happens. Anyways, next Tuesday, guys. Take care. Bye.